If you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
This is Nicole with CJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to Campus and Community Radio, broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories. I have Will here today. I just want to thank you, Will, for joining me. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're actually going to be talking about the Michael J. Fox Theater. It's a beloved Burnaby institution since 1993, which is at the risk of shutting down. So, I mean, please, Will, can you share, like, how you're affiliated with the Michael J. Fox Theater and sort of, like, what's about to potentially happen?
Sure. So I work for IATSE, which is a union that represents all kinds of arts and cultural workers, including film, TV, stagehands. We have about 170,000 members across North America, and one of the oldest locals that we have is Local 118, which represents stagehands and other theater workers in BC. Mm-hmm. And so a few weeks ago, all of the theater technicians at the Michael J. Fox Theater made the unanimous decision to join IATSE Local 118.
Okay.
And to certify the theater to make it a union venue, which it hadn't been in the past. And it was through that process and through conversations with the employer that is the Burnaby School District that we learned that actually the school district was planning on shuttering the theater as of June 30th of this year. And so that's how we got involved. You know, it was through our representation of the workers that we learned that this happened. And of course, we want to try and protect those jobs, and we want to start bargaining a collective agreement for those workers. Mm-hmm. And through that process, like, there's just been this huge outpouring of support from the community as well. So it's really taken on a life of its own beyond our involvement as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned in the very brief intro that the theater has been around since 1993. So obviously, it's been a pivotal, route for the Burnaby community. I'm sure that it's going to be pretty devastating if it's, you know, not available for community. What can folks do to maybe help stop this, if there's anything, you know, that we can do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're right that it's at the core of the community. It's it's a theater that's booked 200 nights a year, which is for any theater an incredible achievement. And it's used by Burnaby residents. It's used by primarily theater and dance groups for competitions. And so there's a really strong community behind it that wants to keep this operating. There kind of isn't anywhere else in the area that's suitable for those kinds of events. In terms of what people can do, we've launched a campaign to save the theater, to keep it open for community use. Mm-hmm. There's a website for the campaign, which is savethemjftheater.ca. On there's a petition, and the petition at the moment has almost, I'm watching it right now, it's about to get to 4,000 signatures in a week. So that gives you an idea of how many people really care about the theater.
Absolutely.
So people can share the petition and sign the petition. But what we're also finding has a lot of impact is actually reaching out to decision makers directly. Mm-hmm. Really, at the moment, that's the city of Burnaby, because we're hoping that the city of Burnaby steps in and is able to provide the funding and the support to make sure that when the school district steps back, there's somebody to step in to take over the theater.
Yes.
And so reaching out to them directly and explaining why it's important to you and why investing in arts and cultural spaces is so important, that's having a lot of impact.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I will be including the link that you referenced. So just in case you are driving or, you know, walking or something like that, and you didn't catch it real quick, no worries, because that will definitely be there. I'm curious if, I know social media is, you know, a great way of spreading the word. Is that something, or is there any social media presence for this campaign as well, or just strictly the website?
We actually haven't yet. made our own social media presence. I think that might change, and it's still early days for us, and I think that's going to change. We have seen lots of Facebook groups, like, the dance community, for instance, is very active on Facebook, and it's been spreading through Facebook kind of on its own. But no, stay tuned for that on our end. I think maybe next week we might think about launching some social media presence too. This has moved incredibly quickly, quicker than we were expecting.
When I heard about it, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to reach out right away because, I mean, we are a community radio. We want to sort of be a platform to share these stories and to spread the word about this, and hopefully it can be stopped. Is there, I mean, you said that things are working pretty quickly. Are there any next advancements, do you think, like upcoming or?
Well, we know that the city of Burnaby last year committed to doing a feasibility study about, whether the city can get involved and how exactly they can get involved. We understand that that report is due imminently. It could be as soon as next week, which is why we're moving so quickly on this. So as far as getting an answer from the city, that's a pivotal piece, and so we're trying to build some pressure around that and make sure that the city understands that this is a really important issue for the community. So that we're aiming towards next week. There is a council meeting next
I
week.
was going to ask about that,
We were trying to get on the agenda, and it doesn't look like we made it onto the agenda for the council meeting. But we do know that some of the correspondence from residents and from community groups has made it into the package for council next week. So we're just trying to keep the pressure on council, while we work with community to try and think of whatever ways we can to support this, right? Like, as a union, we have h over 100 years of expertise working in theatres. We know that the community groups have lots of expertise in running events and running fundraising. And so I think between us and the city and everyone else involved, I think that we can come up with some ways to keep this place running for the community.
Absolutely. I am sending all the vibes. I've signed the petition as well because
Great.
I also moonlight and work for a performing arts theater in New Westminster. So I know they sort of face some of those issues with Massey Theater way back when. So I'm hoping that, we were able to save Michael J. Fox Theater. And if you wouldn't mind to please plug the website again so that folks who might have just been listening right now will know where they can go to support.
Yeah, the website is savethemjftheatre.ca. The petition's there at the bottom of that page. There's an email address too if you want to get in touch with us and offer support in a different way, or you're part of a community group that wants to support somehow. Please do reach out directly to us as well. But savethemjftheatre.ca.
Wonderful. And before I let you go, again, I want to thank you so much because I know it's busy times and you have a lot on the go. Is there anything that we might not have talked about or that you might not have shared that you would want to share before we sign off?
I think that just about covers it, but I again, it's just we've been really blown away by the show of support, and so we'd like to keep the momentum going. We've heard from people, for instance, who went to Burnaby South Secondary School. They used to perform at the theatre, and now their kids are performing at the theatre. So it's keeping a legacy alive, and we're really excited to have so much support. So thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you were able to join me again, Will. Thank you so much. And thank you all listeners. Again, I will include the links so that you can stay connected and as well as the email that you referenced as well. Thank you so
Great.
much.
Thanks, Nicole.
This is Bird Note. Ornithologist and poet J. Drew Lanham often writes about his experience as a Black man in the outdoors, both the joy of being in nature and the racism he faces in the field. Sometimes that's led him to bird in places that others might overlook. And one time, looking for sparrows inspired a poem celebrating these little brown birds.
Sparrow envy. Were I the sparrow, brown-backed, skittish, and small, I would find haven in thorniest thickets, search far and wide for fields lain fallow, treasure the unkempt, worship the unmown, covet the weed-strewn row. I would slink between sedges, chip unseen from brambles, skulk deep within hedges, and desire the ditches grown wild. I would find great joy in the mist-sodden morning, sing humble pleas from the highest weeds, and plead for the gray days to stay.
Want to hear more poetry about birds? Check out our new hour-long special, Words in Flight. You can find it on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mark Bramhill.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002, CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
All I can get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm.
I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy, and it keeps getting louder.
We have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce.
The only logical solution is to listen to CJSF 90.1 FM. They broadcast from Burnaby Mountain in British Columbia. Let's tune in now.
Hello, this is Nicole Hines with CJSF 90.1 FM, your campus and community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. I'm a woman who enjoys traveling, and when I learned about my next guest, I was excited to have a chat. Carol Delenko, author of A Woman's Guide to World Travel, is here for a conversation about the book. A Woman's Guide to World Travel is a comprehensive travel guide and memoir designed for women of all ages and backgrounds interested in exploring the world of travel. Drawing on the author's 40 years of experience traveling across nearly 100 countries, OM to the G, the book highlights both the unique challenges and rewards women encounter on their journeys. It provides practical advice on every aspect of travel, from planning and budgeting to arrival and return. Returning home tailored specifically for solo travelers. Also, though, it does include like information for those with partners, as well as group travelers and women with children, professionals, and even those with special needs. So, Carol, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Well, I'm awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's always exciting to have an opportunity to talk about travel.
Yes. Speaking of travel, I'm on my way to Barbados in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, this is fitting.
Perfect. Hot weather and sunshine.
100%. 100%. Now, I spoke for a little bit. I am going to sort of pass the mic to you. And I would love if you could share a bit about your background and what drew you to write this book.
Well, it actually starts way before I wrote this book, actually. I started traveling when I was 18 years old. And I was supposed to be gone for 4 months, and I ended up being gone for about 8 years.
Whoops. What?
It was a big whoops. So what was supposed to be a four-month trip ended up being so long because every single place I went, there was someplace else I wanted to go. And I kept on hearing about amazing places through the Traveler's Grapevine, which maybe doesn't exist in the same format anymore. Mm-hmm. But by the time I came back after 8 years traveling, more or less, I had been to about 40, maybe 50 countries. And I had so many people asking me questions about how do you travel? How do you do this? How do you do that? And a friend of mine suggested that I start teaching travel through continuing education, Vancouver School Board. Oh. And so I started with one class, and I'd never taught, but I thought, wow, I'm going to get paid to talk about travel. This is cool. And I had one page with maybe half a dozen bullet points on it. And that one class ended up being three classes that I ended up teaching for about 8 years. Wow. And they were Travel the Safe Way, Travel for the First Time, and Travel for Women on Their Own. And by the time I finished all of those, teaching those courses, I had about a 25 or 30 page handbook that I was using in these classes. And from that, I ended up writing the Complete Guide to Independent Travel. And then I wrote the Globetrotters Guide, Essential Skills for Budget Travel. Great. And that book actually went as a Canadian bestseller.
Wow.
And then the publisher asked me to write another book for women. And shortly after I started doing the outline, SARS hit. And then 9/11 hit. And then my life took over. And I just kind of put this on the back shelf and kind of ignored it and continued traveling. And a couple years ago, I thought, well, you know, it was COVID. And I was going through my shelves and my actually boxes of stuff. And I went, oh, my gosh, this outline. I remember this book. And as I started reading it, I thought, oh, wow, this is so outdated. At that point, you know, a selfie didn't exist when I initially wrote this in the late 90s, right? And a lot of the online technology didn't exist either.
Right.
So I thought, I've got so much more to add to the experience that I could write about now. And that's why I started writing the book.
For sure. Take a beverage. I'm so glad that we are recording remotely, because my goodness, if we were in studio, we'd have to have you head out, grab a beverage and come back, because you know what I mean? And all things. Yeah. So I love the remoteness of it. Okay. Wow. What a journey. I love that this book exists. Like I mentioned, I do love to travel, and there is a lot of things to consider when you're brand spanking new to the whole thing,
travel,
right?
Idea.
Absolutely. So,
well, and it's interesting. Yeah, because when, again, like when I started writing the book, I could have written it 20 years ago, 25 years ago, but I don't think I would have had the breadth of experience of what I've got now and the different perspectives. So as you get older, you travel differently.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like different versions of myself have traveled throughout these 40 some odd years. I've traveled as a backpacker. I've traveled as a professional and traveled with my mother. So traveled with an elder, traveled with a couple little kids, traveled with a girlfriend, traveled in groups, done all kinds of, you know, different types of travel.
Right.
And so when I really started writing the book, I thought, I have got so much more to share. And, you know, I always believe that the more knowledge you have, the more responsibility you have to share it. And I wrote the book in the same way that you would travel. So you think about a destination, you start dreaming about it, and then you have to start figuring out how you're going to get there and the planning behind it. And then once you arrive, what you're going to do. And so the book was written with that in mind as well for anybody, whether you've traveled a ton or not traveled much at all.
I love it. I shared at the beginning of the intro that your book entails a lot of different features, right? Like, for example, there's like detailed checklists and things of that nature. And I'm wondering if you could share some without, you know, we don't want to like share it all because we want people to buy the book, but we do. I'm just wondering if you want to share some of the features that a reader could find when they purchase your book.
Well, you know, you've got a beautiful narrative that talks about, you know, from the beginning of travel all the way to returning home and all the different elements, whether it's just arrival and dealing with jet lag or culture shock.
Right.
Dealing with healthcare and hygiene as a woman, very different than when men have to deal with. Dealing with transportation, hotels and accommodation, shopping, bargaining, dealing with men. And I say dealing with men because a lot of times you're dealing with men.
Factual
you're not just
statement.
Interacting.
And
yeah, and also talking about, you know, globalization, talking about street kids, talking about traveling with ecological an ecological footprint and sustainable travel.
Yes.
And then with all of those elements, I share stories, about 50 some odd stories that kind of back up essentially what I've said.
Yes.
I've got beautiful quotes. quotes from women throughout the book.
Yes.
I've got photos. I've taken all the photos that are in the book.
Love.
And like you said, I've got checklists in the book. I've got timelines in the book. So, you know, 2 months before you start traveling, what do you need to do? A month before you start traveling, 1 week, one day, 2 days. So I really go through the gamut of everything. And then also returning home, because that's always one of the hardest things when you get back home and you've still got that joy and the buzz from traveling. And, you know, what do you do with the experience?
Yes.
You can just stick it in your back pocket and live it over and over again. You can look at the pictures, or you can join an organization that really helps support the economy and the people in this place. You can really start doing something with the knowledge that you've got and helping the country that you've been to.
Mm-hmm.
So the book really has all different kinds of elements within it.
I love it. And I feel like the book is one of those things, because like you mentioned, it's not just for the brand spanking new traveler. It is also going to be valuable to somebody who's traveled multiple times in their life in various different areas. But it really does cover everything, especially when you mentioned traveling with a parent, right? Like, you know, I'm from the era where, like, you know, parents are aging, right? Like, it's a part of the aging population and what that means to travel with an aging parent, right? So I love that that's included.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's so important. And because I've got so many different perspectives, traveling as an 18 or 19 year old with a backpack and living out of a backpack to traveling with my mother and staying in an all-inclusive because everything is contained and it's easy.
Yes.
And, you know, not as much adventure as I would like, yet it still provides a vacation and a look at a different culture from a different perspective. And, you know, traveling with a parent who is aging, there are some, you know, significant differences in how you have to travel. Like, you can get assistance once you actually check in. You can have assistance that takes you to the plane. You can get pre-boarding on the plane. You can get seats that are right up front or near the washroom if there's going to be a lot of up and down. You can get priority everything. Priority in hotels, making sure that there's the right elements in a hotel shower, bars to hold on to so that people don't slip. And, you know, again, even making sure that folks have and parents have insurance that really is going to cover them in case anything should happen while they're away as an elder. And, you know, that's why a lot of folks that are older really like cruises, because, again, it's a self-contained place where you still get to travel and see something exciting and different, yet everything is a little bit safer, because if you do get ill, there's medical attention right
on the ship. Absolutely. Now I'm going to shift a little bit, but it's all relative. Let's say you have a woman who is like considering traveling, you know, hasn't done it before yet, you know, regardless of their age range, right? What would be a bit of advice that you would offer, aside from buy your book?
Aside from buy your book. Knowledge, you know, knowledge is always going to be your best friend. And there's an element of fear that we have as women stepping into the world about, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what to expect. And the way you can alleviate a lot of that fear is by doing your homework and understanding the cultural norms that you're walking into, the laws, the rules, the state of women, again, knowing where you're staying. And now you can do so much research online. You can really eliminate a lot of that fear. I always tell people when you're packing, pack your bag, take half out, because you might want to shop when you're abroad, right? Know where you're going to stay so that when you arrive in the country, and I always try and arrive while it's still light outside during the day, get to your hotel, find your way around, talk to the people that are staying in the hotel. And there's, you know, things that you could do, like finding out what the local transportation is going to be like. Do you need to take an Uber? Are there taxis? Are there tuk-tuks? Are there rickshaws? Do you have to walk? So really doing your research to find a lot of those elements out. Using something like Google Maps, you can even drop yourself onto the street view
True.
And take a look around before you arrive so that, again, you're not so much a foreigner because you've seen this already.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what time museums open and close, knowing what neighborhoods are safe to travel to or what ones you need to avoid,
right.
The more knowledge that you have in your back pocket, the less fear there's going to be and the more preparation you can have, the easier it's going to be once you land and start really navigating around the place.
Great tips. I love it. My next question for you is, you kind of touched on it before. The question was, what's next for you? And I know, number one, it's like traveling to at least 7 more countries so that you can hit the 100. So we already know that.
Yeah.
But is there any other things that are next for you?
Well,
I'm
actually in the summer, I'm heading back to Spain, and I'm going to be part of the Gay Games with my dragon boat team, and we're going to be paddling there. So that's going to be really fun. And I've been to Spain. I lived in Madrid for a couple months at one point. But then I've just been doing a little bit of research on Tunisia.
Okay.
So I'm wanting to travel to Tunisia. I've never been. It's been on my list of, that would be a really cool place to go, list that I have, my bucket list. And I'm also in the process of writing another book right now. And it's about an experience that I had over the course of 8 years when I moved to Mexico, some years ago. I met 2 little boys that were living under a bridge on a piece of cardboard, and they were like 2 and 3 years old. And I took them under my wing, and I, over the course of 7 years, tried, adopting them and bringing them to Canada. And I became mummy for a period of time and had to, work with a lot of the systems and the culture and, doing a lot of work to understand, again, street children and different customs and different ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm writing a book about that entire experience and hope to keep traveling and traveling and traveling.
Yes, I love to hear it. I can't believe they're already coming to a close almost in our chat. You see how things just flow.
I love
so
it.
Cool, so quickly. But okay, so my next thing obviously is about the book because, I'd love people to, pick it up. So my question is, where could we purchase your book, A Woman's Guide to World Travel?
Well, in Canada, you can go into most bookstores anywhere, and the book is on the shelves at Indigo or, Book Warehouse, any of the, Kohl's, that sort of thing. If you're online, you can buy it on Indigo or Amazon or, again, a lot of the online book sites. It's also on Audible. So I have recorded the book as well. So if you want to take it in your pocket and when you're doing your walks around the seawall or wherever, you can listen to the book at any point, and that was really fun to do.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can even go to my website, womansguidetoworldtravel.com, and I've got all the information there. You can follow me on Facebook or Instagram. I'm constantly adding things and sharing interesting posts and information about the book as well, and that's at Woman's Guide to World Travel.
I love it. And I love that you just pretty much answered my second question of how can we find you online? So you already did the things. As you always know, whenever I'm chatting with folks that give us some links and information, I am going to put it in the show notes just in case you were walking on the seawall right now or driving in your vehicle and was not able to catch that quickly. I'm going to make sure that I have all the links there. I just want to thank you, Carol, just for hanging out with me today and talking about travel and all the things. And I think you have a wealth of knowledge in this book specifically that is valuable for whatever stage of travel experience that you have got going on.
Yeah. If you can dream it, you can live it and you can do it. And just don't, curiosity has no age limit.
Okay.
So get out there and live. Honestly, you get one shot at life. Let's go and really enjoy it.
Hey, get out there and live, guys. Thank you, Carol, so much for hanging out with me again.
You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM. broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.